Actually, you start this time.
Oh, okay. Hi, everybody. This is the commentary for episode 109, Civil War. I am Julie Lunetta.
I am Becky Harrington Davis.
And I am Brad Smith.
Good morning, Zana.
Well, you are earlier than expected.
Yeah, before we started doing this, we were talking about a poll that was done shortly after season one finished, and we were asking people what their favorite episodes of season one. The recollection was that no one had voted for this episode. There is one person.
Oh,
yes.
Do we know who it is?
I don't think I know.
Can we track them down and thank them?
Hey, you're the moderator. You should be able to know.
Yeah, I'm moderator.
Yeah, I don't think I can find out, but yeah.
The point is, this is not, according to our fan base, at least the ones who voted on the forum, this is not our most popular episode.
Yeah, and it's very interesting because at the time, we thought this was such a different episode, and we actually had a lot of fun doing it. I really had a really great time doing this, just really angry fighting and all the drama, and it was a blast to record. We had so much positive energy when we were doing this.
Yeah.
And I thought we thought it was going to be like one of our best episodes. We loved it at the time. And then it came out and just it didn't work. People just didn't respond to it the way that we originally thought.
Well, Imross, who's one of our more frequent posters.
Hi, Imross.
In the comments under the poll is chanting Civil War, Civil War. So I think he's the one who, so Imross, this is for you. it was a really fun episode to make. But yeah, I did hear from a lot of people. I think if I pulled up the feedback thread for this particular episode, we see a lot of people who just found it kind of irritating hearing the cast just sort of go at it.
Half hour screaming at each other. Why wouldn't that be fun to listen to?
I guess.
At the time, I mean, I didn't think of that at the time, but I know people have mentioned things like, well, who likes to listen to people fighting, you know? It's who likes listening to your parents fight? Who likes listening to people fight?
Everybody who watches, like, Maury Povich? Or Jerry Springer.
And I know that, I guess. But I know Brandon has said before that he wanted it to be like this, like, teen drama after school special type of thing. See where you're losing
money. We'll need to Brandon mentioned that something about that recently on the mailing list. I'm going to see if I can look that up. Because,
Brad's going with the supplemental materials here.
Yep.
That's cheating.
Hey! I got on my laptop. I got the script. You know, we were going to tell people about, like, the scene titles and everything as we went through these, and I don't think we ever actually did. Little known fact, the writers title each scene, and they're usually pretty amusing titles. The one we're listening to right now, where Mike is selling Zana on Mr. Ham and all that, is Professor Arkshire's Marketing 101.
Yeah.
Though my personal favorites are still the in the very first episode of the series, which has, I think, six scenes titled Run Like Hell Part 1, Run Right Like Hell Part 2, and so forth.
Well, I forget which episode it was, but there's one that it's like, you know, walking scene, another walking scene, another walking scene again, you know, holy crap, another walking scene.
I think they like to have fun with it. It's just kind of a inside joke, because, you know, no one's ever going to see these titles.
Well, you know, until they buy the, you know, extra super special, you know, collector's edition that has all the scripts on it.
Yeah, which actually I think this one will.
Well, there you go.
So now you'll get to see how funny the writers are in their spare
so
time.
You yourself can follow along at home.
That's right.
And read the script while you're listening to us and listening to the episode. Just had some, you know, multitasking.
Oh, you know what? We shouldn't be doing the commentary here, because I just pulled up the email from Brandon when we were talking about who should do which commentaries, and Brandon's response is 1.09 should probably be John and I apologizing profusely for the episode. It seemed like such a good idea at the time. And he goes on to explain, we wanted to do an episode that was somewhat like a teen drama. What would happen if it rained all day and everyone was stuck in each other's faces? We succeeded, but too well.
So there you have it.
Yeah, see, now they don't have to do it.
And you know what? Yeah, just to echo what Becky was saying, it was a lot of fun to do. What you have to appreciate is that by the time we got to this episode, we'd been doing the series together for almost a year, so there was a whole lot of pent-up resentment and anger that we just had to have an outlet for expressing at one another.
One thing that I thought I remember very clearly is... as I've mentioned before.
Oh, this isn't the first mention of Orin, but this is where we first like actually explain a little bit about who Orin is. Sorry, go ahead.
Something we did during the rehearsals for this, which was always fun, is we physicalized the rehearsals again, and especially
I decked Mike. That was awesome.
Yeah, it was a scene where we all strangle each other, like, you know, Homer and Bart on the Simpsons.
I think it's like at the end of the big fight, and I'm just completely yelling at Catherine and Mike, right? I remember we had like a couple of chairs in a room, and we were all sitting on these chairs, and like they were trying to stand up, and then I would shove them down and sit them down in their chairs physically to make them shut up. And it was just fun. It was like a power trip.
Because being producer isn't enough. You need to physically rough up the cast.
That's right.
I see.
Well, you know, you got to show us who's boss. That is all except for them. You know, last thing you want in a show like this is uppity actors. Actually, that reminds me that this, you know, there was a line earlier Fezzer had about, you know, well, you know, some say Orin's not real, but you know, but I know he is, and that kind of thing. And sort of introduces
I have pamphlets.
Well, yeah, exactly. You know, like, sort of, you know, it sort of introduces Fezmer as like, almost this sort of conspiracy theory type.
Yeah.
And I love the fact that we actually go into that, and, you know, if you've listened to, you know, like, season two, or at least, you know, that of it which we've released so far.
He just said the truth is out there. I'd forgotten about that. I groaned audibly when I first read that in the script, I remember.
But it is. I mean, he's right. Or it exists. And, you know, all this other stuff. And, the pulling the strings behind the scenes. And
I've always thought that scenes like this, where a character is saying, you know, like when he was talking about why wasn't Loundy overrun by the Legion, and Fezmer saying, well, some say it's because it's protected by the mountains, and some say it's protected by Draenor. I always assume when I hear scenes like that in any show that the writers are basically transcribing their own prep sessions where they're going through and just transcribing their own brainstorming sessions.
Yeah, or, you know, or like on Lost where they basically, you know, well, they'll do explicit call-outs to like, well, you know, here's this crazy fan theory that we're going to shoot to hell. Here's this one. Or, you know, same thing.
So, is this the first episode with the harpy?
Oh, God.
Because I just heard myself talking about describing the harpy dreams. And I don't know if the harpy appears.
The harpy shows up, I know, at the end of 8.
Oh, the end of 8.
Yeah.
Okay, so we just heard that in the last episode.
But she may show up again, so I don't remember offhand.
Yeah, oh, wait. Is Shauna having dreams about the harpy?
Yeah, I was just telling Fezmer about it.
Oh, okay. A big guy alone is enough for a whole
meal. I have always considered that. I said something like, why am I dreaming about some guy's pet bird thing?
Okay. But anyways... Oh man, we're actually doing this thing that I hate in commentaries when I'll watch a commentary.
Oh yeah.
Well, no. It's when like I was watching it. It was a Babylon 5 commentary. I don't usually watch commentaries, but I'm a big fan of Babylon 5. I was watching one of the commentaries, and the actors were all like trying to. Oh yeah, what was that? What was that alien species called? And I'm like, I know, and you guys don't know. Why aren't you experts on this show? You were in it, damn it! I've only watched it 5 times.
This is Ben, Brad Smith's commentary on the commentary. And now, back to the commentary.
It's hard because it's so
long meta.
Ago. And I know when it's on TV, it's the same thing. It was just so long ago that we were making these episodes. This was in, 2005?
Let me pull up the supplementary material.
We started the show in 2005.
Did we?
We started in 2006.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure.
Oh, really?
Well, you've been involved longer, Becky. But
yeah, we started recording in 2006.
Yeah, you're right. Okay. 2006.
Yeah, but the other thing is, especially at this period in the show, we were really... pushing the release schedule.
Yeah.
And so it was pretty much, we didn't really have time to sort of,
every two or three weeks.
Yeah. So we didn't really have time to focus on, you know, all the intricate stuff in every episode. It was like, all right, that one's done, next. That one's done, next.
October 22nd, 2006 is when this came out. Jeez.
Man.
Wow.
We were so young then.
Yeah.
Require a great deal of money.
Hey, it's like they say, you gotta spend money to make money. I'm sure if we think about it, we could scrape together enough for an initial investment. I mean, what if we sell some of those paintings?
Sort of an embarrassing suit to put people in.
Artwork? I have never heard of
that. That's one.
Oh my god, we.
Yes, that. Okay, what were you about to.
I was gonna say that we thought about actually doing this.
What if Andrea's more. What's the word I'm looking for?
Was it audacious?
You mean for marketing?
I was gonna say ambitious. Yeah. Yeah, for marketing
this
show.
This was Mike's idea.
This was Mike's idea?
Me, Mike, and Lexi one time had a little marketing meeting right here on my porch, and we talked about random ideas. We just brainstormed ideas to market the show, and Mike suggested that we get somebody to run around in a pig suit giving out flyers in the middle of Boston.
And then we'd record it and put it on YouTube. And the big marketing thing wasn't going to be the, like, 20 people he gave flyers to. It would be the hundreds of people who came to see the wacky pig guy in Boston.
Well, the funniest thing about it is we were saying, who should do this? And Mike suggested Sequoia.
Really? I didn't know that.
Hey, Catherine, you could be the pig.
That's interesting.
And for those of us who are listening at home and might not know who Sequoia is.
She's in the second season, or no?
Oh, yeah. She sings the ballad of Dear Varya.
Sequoia Wild is my ex-wife who is a part of the, who's been a part of the show. She was, at this point during the series, her involvement was her official title was Scheduling Bitch. She was the one who had the egg timer to make sure that we kept on task during the rehearsals.
Yeah, she had the whip and everything else.
Yeah. Yeah,
talk about it all the time.
Those were good things. But the
well, I mean, I didn't tell you guys about the private rehearsals.
Oh,
well, you know, she really needed to, you know, work the character.
We're on 9 now. We can do the commentary for 208 later.
Was that of a parental discretion?
Yeah. But yeah, and then in season two, she comes back and she directed an episode and she played Lorelei and she sang that beautiful song that Tiven wrote for 207.
Ultra liberal.
Ultra liberal.
Both sides gathered in these days. Kate, kindly take that broom and clean out the storefront.
Oh, is this a. Did Catherine actually get to call us colonialist?
Oh, that's right.
Yes.
Oh god.
Wow.
Speaking of,
you
speaking
tell
of
the story
calling
about
speaking of calling back to fan reaction. There was someone on the forums who
was on the forums, I think.
Okay.
It was either on the forums or you were telling us about, I don't remember.
Somebody's reaction to the show initially for the first couple episodes was here we go. Here's the colonials bit. The story of Mike and Catherine and Shauna coming into this new world and being like, you know, the superheroes basically, Shauna with the magic and Mike being strong and Catherine being, you know, the live action dweeb and all that was very colonialist of that, you know, we must save the native peoples from, you know, from themselves or whatever.
There it is. There
it is. Yeah, and so. And this was mentioned to the writers and to the cast, and I was sort of picked up on it and thought about it, and then as part of that, because
picked it up, thought about it, made fun of it.
Well, I mean, made fun of it, but also, I mean, I think we've managed to subvert isn't quite the right word, but like avoid that. I mean, that wasn't our intention at all.
I like the fact that we really ended up with a well melded team where the natives and the Bostonian, the Laundians and the Bostonians learn, I think, equal amounts from one another. And,
yeah, but you know, you need to go through that period of adjustment first, as in, you know, we earlier recorded the commentary for episode 4 where. I know Archon has a scene with Zano where she's basically saying, well, you know, everybody else is better than us at stuff. What the hell? You know, where's my place? Where's our place in this? Which I think is one of the things that possibly arouse the colonialist sentiment, without that adjustment period,
neither is she.
A lot of the development that happened later just wouldn't necessarily work as well, I think. I mean, certainly, if Mike wasn't stronger than, above average, if Mike was not of above average strength in Lound D, the whole video game thing really wouldn't work, I don't think. Mm-hmm. At least for the first, four or five episodes, until he, mellows out after nearly dying. She does that mellows out a person. Whole coma, kind of chill out.
I cannot help but feel it fall. No, don't let her do that to you.
So,
you said you were trying to do what was...
I'll shut up now.
So now we have Mike and Archon bonding in this episode.
Yep.
But which might be a first, I don't know. It was the right person. I can't remember before them really being the best you can do. A whole lot of one-on-one between Mike and Archon.
That was a big thing.
Because
basically...
because this pays off later.
Well, Archon was feeling very close to Catherine. And then that trust was essentially completely shattered in episode 108. And so it's a combination of Archon feeling alienated from everybody and Mike feeling alienated from everybody. And so they get together and feel alienated together.
Right.
Yes. It's like, teenage high school goths. not that I know anything about
that. Team drama thing.
Yeah, exactly. Right. The whole team drama thing.
Hey, it's true.
And that, of course, leads into, the dance episode. Was it 111 is the dance?
Or 110? 10 is the dance.
10 is the very next episode.
Next one. Right.
So where, sort of the sort of Mike Archon, quote, romance, really continues to develop. And then especially, in the second season, or at least when we start the second season, where, Archon is in Boston. Oh, sorry, spoilers. we presume you've listened to the entire series.
Archon is in...
Archon is where? Oh, I meant Boston Loud Eats.
Archon joined a band?
Yeah. Well, after the untimely passing of Brad Delp, somebody needs to step up and take that. We're nerds. Anyway.
But we're nerds across a broad range of subjects, and that somehow...
Oh, yeah, right. like we'd know who Boston was if they weren't in Rock Band. Come on.
But I am not accusing you of anything, Shane.
I actually know Boston because my Sequoia's brother, who is 18, is convinced that his birth is responsible for the death of contemporary music, and he's convinced that no music after his birthday is worth listening to, and so it's fantastic. His record collection is all 70s classic
stuff
rock.
Stuff that's older than he is.
Yeah, 70s classic rock and the complete works of Duran Duran. That's fantastic.
Okay, wow.
So he was born in 1990.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
I guess I could see everything.
So,
except for Green Day, they're cool.
Oh. Yeah, the whole, well,
Hi, Jareth. You're just in time.
So we can have our own teen drama moment and bitch each other out about musical taste. Because, it would be perfect sense, because nobody liked the episode, so now nobody will listen to the commentary. We're bitching each other. Be great.
Green Day sellouts. Precisely. The 5 days marking the end of the world here at the
beginning of the new year. Isana present. Brad Smith, the indie rock peep of Second Shift. People who both listen to Second Shift and read Diesel Sweeties, that will make perfect sense.
I didn't have to get so mad, but he started off the day by insulting me.
Rocker.
And then he has the audacity to tell Zana how she should run her business.
He seems to have so little regard for the effect he has on others.
Exactly. I mean, he's trying to Americanize the culture and doesn't even realize the impact.
Oh, jeez, I just realized.
He's trying to infect the way Zana is running her business. He's carelessly...
If Mike and Archon are bonding in, the high school goth, we're so mopey way, what are Jareth and Catherine? Are they, the student young Republicans or something?
Kind of.
Even though she was just called ultra-liberal.
Well, I mean, that, I don't know, maybe young Republicans not so much, but,
But, yeah, no, I totally know what you mean.
The upset political activists, but they are very... Jareth is very system. I guess Catherine isn't very system, but...
But she is an overachiever.
Yes. Well, and Catherine's very, very system in the sense that she's very PC in her way, I guess.
True.
So, student council? Bear with me.
Yeah, okay, yeah. There we go. Yes.
She's totally on the
Jareth and Catherine are the preppies on the student council.
There you go.
Yeah, there we go. Second shift, explained to you in terms of high school social cliques.
Nice. Maybe we can get, you know, really more fanfic out of that.
Jareth, how can you even say that?
Because it is true.
I'll stop. You know, hyping the fanfic angle eventually. When people start writing it, get on that.
All right. I think at this point we owe Steven Smatt a shout out.
That's true.
Our lone fanfic author.
He does amazing work.
And Sammy wrote one.
That's true.
Yes. Sammy wrote the fanfic and the second shift geek code, and then Steven Smatt wrote everything else.
Musical, shift noir, what else? Yeah. I'm missing other stuff.
Archon's Journal.
Oh,
yeah, the Archon's Journal stuff.
Oh, yeah, that was cool.
So we do have one very prolific fanfic
that
writer.
That was really fun.
Who doesn't write stories, per se.
Well, he writes stories about our stories.
Yeah.
Which is fanfic, so yeah, you know. All right, so people besides Steven Smatt. Steven Smatt, keep up the good work. You're awesome. We love you. You know. You know, like four or five more. You to really.
Maybe we should appeal to nationalism. All you Americans, you're getting beat out by an Australian, an Aussie.
Yeah.
Well, come on.
Is it Banana Benders or is that New Zealand? I forget.
What?
I wasn't able to remember.
Maybe I just invented a new racial slur. I don't know.
Oh dear.
Sounds like a drink.
Well, hey, those Australians sure like drinking, huh?
Wow.
Banana Bender, Australian for girly drink. And I totally can't do an Australian accent. I apologize to all Australians for that. That was horrible.
What was this dream, Shay? Sometimes dreams can have great significance.
Oh, here's Sean talking about the harpy.
Ah, yeah, here we go.
Because if we talk about this, we risk offending people less.
Thing at the end of my bed. This giant black bird with a human face. And it tells me that it's watching me. And that's when I wake up.
The harpy likes to watch.
Oh!
I was kind of wondering.
Yeah.
Wow.
Thanks.
What?
No.
She said it was. It's watching. Filling in that.
Perhaps that is where you heard that. I had totally forgotten about that. I do remember Catherine saying something about it too.
Archon's going through a lot of trouble to denying that the harpy exists.
I was going to say, is Archon intentionally deflecting things?
Yes, she is. I think so.
I do not know.
I think that was
the intent. I apologize for not being of greater assistance, Jared.
That's okay, Jared.
Perhaps Sana will be of more help.
I agree. You should certainly discuss
it. Because I'm not of any.
You're probably right. So, what is this winged herald?
That was really weird the way you said that.
It is part of the
Yes, you should probably discuss
it
this with
Sana. It is supposed to be his eyes, his ears, his voice in the world.
Yes.
I think the first time it appears in mythology is before the Legion's conquest of Erendi 700 years ago. The story goes
what
that the Legion appeared
here
in the night chamber of the sovereign of Erendi.
See, even Jareth brings supplemental material.
And 3 days later, the entire city was
Hey, I live my part.
So it is real?
Whatever Fesmer might believe, it is merely a story, Shay. One intended to frighten children into understanding the importance
Jareth
of Jareth
actually got through a lecture. Usually poor guy doesn't get through any of his lectures. Aww, he gets interrupted by somebody before he can expound at full length. Jareth is a font of useful information.
Exactly. You know, especially like everybody's favorite blooper, you know, find out the true power of the Hokey Pokey.
I don't know about that.
Do not steal from your own wealth, Shay.
Apologies for the interruption. Would one of you pass me the wetting stone, please? It's Chagrandy.
These ill dreams are likely the result of your constant training. You are putting a tremendous strain on yourself, Shay.
You think that's it?
I do.
I guess the good listeners don't know that you're just playing with Becky's cat there and completely...
You mean focusing intently on the content of the episode.
Yes.
Well, Brad was just
we are professionals after all.
Brad was trying to entertain my cat with the cat toy and she was completely ignoring it. So then I handed him another cat toy and she ignored that as well. And so then he tossed him.
And now you have the complete recap of everything that you missed, dear listener. I hope we've made it up for you.
Yes, see, unfortunately, these are things that are the limitations of the audio medium. You will never hear a people playing with a cat, you know, scene in second shift. It's just,
that's
it's beyond our capability.
So soon, we've
got, what, a week and a half? If I really work at it, I think.
Well, we had so here, people here's, with here's where the big plan. Here's where the big plan gets formulated.
What plan?
Using
your best chance.
Using
if I can write a 25-page paper, then they can.
Is that the Star Trek: The Next Generation theme in your ringtone?
Becky's phone just rang.
We're trying to convince people that we're not geeks, Becky. We're doing it wrong.
Since when? Besides, it's a commentary classic of somebody's cell phone go off.
It's what?
It happens a lot in commentary.
It does.
Yeah, you're supposed to take the call during the commentary.
Exactly.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
And tell them that you're, don't call them back. That doesn't count.
Well, you're still there.
They missed their chance.
No, that was Paul.
For commentary stardom.
I was actually.
You could have brought in
call
by
Paul,
call by proxy.
Hey, Fesmer,
Star Trek ringtone.
Don't you have an umbrella spell or something?
Well, yes, she suggested it several weeks ago.
Well, hug me up.
Well, it only shields me from the driving rain. I do not know how to protect another with it.
Oh, man. Maybe I could just stand close to you.
Excuses.
What?
I'll stand close to you.
Well, if you were that concerned about getting wet, you should have taken an oil.
There was something really cool about the way that we rehearsed
I'll know better
this.
Next
I'm
time
trying
then.
To remember. Because I remember
so
we were at Lexi's church.
Yeah.
Turn off the lights on and off.
we were doing the strong bad rave thing. And periodically, yes, that's right. Brandon was directing. And while Andrew and Mike were reading, at first they were just sort of reading. And Brandon was like, you know, no, say it louder. There's a storm going on. What he ended up doing is while Mike and Andrew were doing the reading, Brandon would periodically yell crash or thunder or something like that. And we ended up getting great, you know, yelling back and forth and having to repeat lines and things like that.
Yeah, because originally I think it was in the script where Mike, right, wasn't it?
I don't remember.
I'm not sure if it's in the script or not. Well, I think, I feel like originally it might have been in the script where it said like, what? At random points. But then instead you decided to make it more natural by just whenever he said crash.
Mr. Ham!
They went, what?
Mr. Ham!
Yeah!
And sort of more improvising.
Somebody would wear the
Yeah, okay, I've got the script up. And periodically there's SFX THUNDER in all caps.
Yeah. But I think then they decided to make more of it.
What's this scene called, Brad?
This scene is called Changing Sides.
Yeah, so like half joking, I tell Catherine, she could be the pig. She totally took it the wrong way, and next thing you know, we're at each other's throats again.
That is not nearly as bad as Kate made it sound.
Thank you! She's always like, money's bad, blah, blah, blah. Not like she's ever had to. Yeah, that was close.
We never ever call back to, you know, Catherine and Mike's unrealistic images of each other. Especially not in, you know, Oh Say the Irish episode from this past year.
That episode is a stroke of genius, I think.
As is everything ever written for this show.
Yes, absolutely.
We're all brilliant.
We's on a still raining out.
Rather heavily, I'm afraid. The other stealing.
We missed a sound effects cue here. This is supposed to have kitchen sounds in the background, according to the script. And we failed to use our kitchen sounds. I hope that the reader was not left too far adrift.
They're muffled by all the rain outside.
Yes.
And what of Meek's advice to me? What appears to be the matter of debate?
Well, I don't know too much about business. I think they are both kind of right. People in my world do know how to make money. If you followed Meek's suggestions, they would probably work. But at what cost? I don't think it'd be so bad as Catherine makes it out to be.
Only Fesmer's dignity, and really, that's selling cheap.
Yeah, I guess so.
For your wisdom, I know that it is difficult to be fair-minded when loved ones are on opposite sides of a conflict.
Second nature to me. My younger brothers are constantly fighting about something. God, my younger brothers. I haven't thought about them in weeks.
You have been extremely busy.
Yeah, but still.
And here's Shauna finally starting to adjust to where she's at.
But this,
I was just thinking about just how I have a very
learning three forms.
This is my kind of normal voice here, I think, in this scene. Sometimes I do Shauna higher. Sometimes I kind of go up a little bit, especially when she's very excited. But in this one, I'm really doing it like really low and really like.
Instead, I think about winged heroes.
Yeah, it's kind of. I guess because I'm not very excited. I'm kind of like blah.
Fesmer thinks it's some foolish,
but because of that, because I don't really do a voice for Shauna so much, I do my own voice most of the time.
Well,
I've used up all my range, you know, and so, which is why I can't do any extra voices most of the time.
Oh, come on, you did an admirable job at the Water Girl.
And Tyler, and Umbra.
That was Bizarro Shauna, so.
Then at the very last moment, just before I hit the ground, I jolt awake. It still scared the hell out of me every time.
The series actually uses,
but I didn't dream that every night for
if I
weeks
can lit major,
end.
You know, get my lit major on. Not that I was a lit major, but we'll get my wannabe lit major on.
Come on, philosophy's cool.
Everyone thought that I should
just get it on already.
The series uses Shauna's connection to her siblings a lot to as a way to.
Sure, you do.
Serve as sort of the barometer for how Shauna is adjusting to her surroundings. They do that again in season 2, in 206, not to give anything away to those who haven't heard it, but that comes up again as sort of a theme for a way in which it's shown that Shauna is starting to adapt because she's no longer grasping quite as desperately to
home. You know what I've learned, Zana?
And to her family in particular.
There is no justice in this world. Either world. I'm a good
time
person.
For a monologue.
I do right by myself. I bust my ass to help others, even when they say they don't
need
it.
The background of the
and
monologue,
yet,
I remember us
I
recording
get...
this in Brandon's basement,
the day,
just
I'm exhausted,
having everybody ad-lib.
Mess. And now, maybe
I'm sure if we could listen to
me,
the
no
background
tell me
monologue
why.
In detail, there
you
would be all kinds of
fine,
hilarious things going on.
I'm sure.
I think we had to do...
Decent rest.
Man, I know several of us were convinced we were going to
lose. What the hell are they fighting about now?
We had so many takes. Does anybody remember why we had to do so many takes of that
thing? I think people kept breaking down, like laughing.
Yeah, people kept laughing or something.
Or saying, like, obviously not in character things.
Just great.
Yeah.
Super Shauna to the rescue. Miss everything to everyone strikes again.
There are mad ad-lib skills going on
my
here.
My favorite example of that, my favorite memory of the whole group ad-lib.
Everybody's boxing. Sorry.
In the, in the very first episode,
The movie
when we were all the geeks in front of the movie theater and we were just, like, sitting there talking about random movies and we were like, wow, that had such cool lightsabers, blah, blah, blah. I remember that being really fun because we all were in the same room, all doing it at the same time. It was one of the first things we had ever done.
And now you speak for Jared. Do not even start with me, Archon.
Guys, we are way off topic.
At last, I do agree with Meek.
This was also by far the busiest scene that we'd ever recorded. This was really difficult to record and really difficult to do post on because whenever there's overlapping voices, it's really hard to get the balance.
And in the first season, we didn't do that as much. In the second season, we do it all the time. If
yeah.
What did you say?
Partially why it takes so long.
Oh, Mike, you have your reckless. What do you consider what Jared has to
say? And I are good friends.
I do consider. I wish Lexi was here because I'm curious why what her take is on why Catherine reacts so strongly to friendless, miserable hag in particular.
That's my Perhaps I
should say nothing. Versus all of the other stuff Mike's been saying this whole time. Maybe it's just the finality of that.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. He wants to change your
world
forever, and he doesn't even know the
I'm
name of
changing
your
anything to freaking tell it.
Can't just make
but you know, I am really proud of how this came out.
It sounds cool.
Not now, yeah. Jared. You two with me. Now,
let go if you remember that we're not actually arguing that this is all semi-scripted, semi-ad-lib, and it's constructed.
Right.
Okay.
It came together really well.
Now, what the hell is going on?
Well, like I told you, so here it is, the mediation.
This
is where I had the two of them sitting down in a chair. They started to stand up to argue, and I shoved them down on their shoulders.
Oh, right.
It was so funny.
Because she's known me the longest.
By, like, 2 minutes.
Oh, and I think I even, like... storm out at the end. Yeah, I do. I storm out at the end. And I actually stormed right out of the room to make a dramatic exit during the recording. It was really, it was fun.
Oh, yeah, because you can always rely on Mr. Hormones to have
it. Okay, enough! Catherine, what is your problem with Mike?
Well,
isn't it obvious?
Always doing all
ever since we got here, she's done nothing but ridicule and run me down.
Oh, that's rich. You want to talk about your actions since the day we
arrived?
Shut up! Mr. Jumping off the
roof. Catherine! Very simple, very direct questions. Catherine gets one, then Mike. Rinse, lather, and repeat as necessary. You are not allowed to interrupt each other. Understood? Yep. Mike.
Fine.
Okay. I can't believe they actually listened to me.
If Mike started blank, you would get along with him better. Well, James started, stopped, and then gave me several more blanks, and maybe I can answer that.
Man!
My turn now?
No, because I haven't answered the question.
Well, maybe next time you should do that then.
Mike, wait your turn.
It is my turn.
She's using some actual, you know, techniques here.
Yeah.
That's admirable.
Clearly is not.
You know, we really try to teach a lesson with the show. Help people, help our friends, you know, learn important life skills that may have otherwise been overlooked in the public education system.
You know, I think we missed a prime opportunity for Mike and Catherine to say, I think we've learned something here today.
Yeah, yeah, we really haven't had a very special episode of Second Shift yet.
Stop it!
But she...
Both of you!
God, you're worse than my twin brother.
The Harpy flies in, the more you know.
If you'd like to learn more about mediation, go to your local library.
Way to count. I'm not even onto the second question.
Great. I'll just sit here all night and listen to her half-assed insinuations.
Unlike you, I don't half-ass anything, Mikey.
Oh, so that must mean you're complete ass.
Guys.
Mikey.
I can't believe you're letting her get away with this, Shauna.
With what? Speaking my mind? Oh, heaven forbid that I might actually have an opinion
on your face.
Guys. Smug look.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is that just the way your face looks? Now, come to think of it, I don't think I've seen any other...
Does anyone actually fight like this?
Fuck you and your glassy-eyed ape.
It's like Gilmore Girls fighting.
It totally is Gilmore Girls fighting. It's
far too clever to be.
Way too clever string of very rapid fire.
I don't think you've ever been silent.
Oh, you're just intimidated by an intelligent, articulate woman who isn't afraid to speak her mind.
So maybe if you were intelligent, we'd have a problem.
You stupid, sexist, Midwestern trash.
I hate you, girl.
Enough! I've absolutely 100% no holds barred had it with you two.
I think Shauna should have been smacking people upside the head with a chair about a minute ago.
Or with OD.
That's finally have to start getting along.
Work stupid magic. Stop!
Work stupid magic. Pimp slap.
In the middle of all your stupid, petty arguments.
Well, now I have a good reason.
Let's
to
do the
get
Matrix
home,
thing, where you are give these unable to
nice
speak.
Some peace and quiet.
Oops!
There I did.
Yes.
I slammed my way out.
You know, I guess.
Sorry.
You go.
I've been kind of reckless. I'm sorry. I'm really sorry for being so mean to you after you took care of me.
Can you feel the love?
I guess I have been a little harsh on you. I'm sorry for snapping.
So adorably awkward.
Aww. Much like real teens.
But if she's okay with it,
or maybe that was just me.
That young.
You do know a lot more about this place than I do. I mean, we could get rid of the whole mascot costume if that's what the fuck we're doing.
No, that's not it.
No!
Actually, I've never thought of a neat idea.
We have to have the mascot costume and the Simpsons reference.
Is that the costume? There goes the viral marketing.
Jared's
to wear. Oh man, that'd be awesome.
Dude! I've totally forgotten about that.
Yeah, nobody suggests Archon going to pig concert.
I'm not surprised by that at all.
Well, I don't think he'd try that with you since Catherine got pretty offended at the idea.
We should add some real vegetarian options.
Yeah, that's
to the
true.
Mm, that's good. Add some more variety.
Do you think some of it is organic?
I think all the food here is organic.
There we have it.
That is it. So,
thank you
know,
for listening to Second Shift, a production of Blue Sky Red Entertainment, Episode 9, Civil War.
I understand some of the criticisms that people have about this episode, but I like it. I feel like we get some actual
the voice talent the following. Becky Davis,
character
Shana,
development
Alexandria Gibbs,
out of it,
Catherine,
or at least we get
Hunter
the
Mike,
we set the stage
Lunetta
for a lot of important character development
Christina
later
Milotovic
on
as Zana,
in this episode.
Andrew Schwartz as Fesmer, and Brad Smith as Jareth.
It's
the audio
actually
is edited by the cast and crew,
and it's a
Schwartz,
thing if this doesn't come across completely. But
Schubert.
It was impressive to me on a technical level.
SecondShiftPodcast.com, part of Podplay.
Actually, a lot went into putting this thing together.
2006. Blue Sky Red Design.
It sounded good. It really did. I thought it was funny to listen to all this fighting. I guess it didn't come across that way to a lot of people, but I thought it was pretty hilarious.
And here we get...
Bumper time!
Truth is funny, isn't it? Friendless, miserable,
It's kind of a bizarre thing to say.
So you can snip that out, make it your ringtone. Can see it being the next big thing.
I think that would be awesome. We should totally do second shift ringtones.
We wrote
one. Do absolutely
please
not.
Do suck it.
Please do suck it. Chug.
Umbra braying.
Yes.
Yes. We need an Umbra ringtone. That'd actually be awesome. I'd totally do that.
Oh, God.
All right. Yeah, I think
could be like your text message.
I think there's a great market here that we have. At this
well, game. There we go. All right. Learn a little more about the behind the scenes of the show and also some of the marketing ideas we come up with. Educational for everybody.
Thank you for listening.
And if you like it, come and boost it up a little bit in the poll. All right. Bye-bye.